What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
A banner year for your company.
Staples wants to help your business achieve big things with 20% back in rewards on your color printing.
Trust the pros at Staples to print whatever your business needs, like color presentations, brochures, and banners.
Prepare yourself for a banner year and banner savings
with 20% back in rewards on your color printing right now at Staples,
where there's a whole lot in store. And 6/22/19 in store only. Exclusions apply. See staples.com/20. Back for details.
This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Last Days Perilousness, Part 8. We have witnessed firsthand here in America the division, hatred, and bitterness. Further, we have seen society crumble from any true moral foundation. If ever the nations of men were moral, they surely are a distinct species today. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 7th day of December, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through chapter 44, verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 15 through chapter 4, verse 1. And the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 through chapter 17, verse 27. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. By going to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com, you can read the featured posts by The Watchman and also listen to our radio shows. The featured posts this week are A Tale of the Season Called Christmas, or A Season Tale of Christmas, Unlike Any You May Have Read Before, and also The Day Priests, Scribes, and Elders Were Enemies of the Messiah. Upon seeing the miracles, signs, and wonders of Jesus, Yeshua, they were filled with contempt, unbelief, pride, and were sore displeased. Yet for these religious leaders, a day would come when they would be weeping in the temple, knowing whom they had rejected. So go to warn-usa.com. danaglennsmith.com or gethealthyyoungliving.com to read the articles by The Watchman and listen to our shows. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio and also check out our Twitter feeds, #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good. And here we are on Friday.
Thank the Lord.
Yes, amen.
It's been busy. We always say that. But we do. We're always busy, it seems.
Yeah, maybe too busy. I think everybody is too busy today.
Well, I've said that before, too. You know, I mean, everybody is busy. you know, no matter where you're at in the world, you're busy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just one of those things of the human condition. You know? I mean, even on our days off or, you know, a vacation, you're busy.
Yeah.
Vacation, you know, maybe you ought to be on a beach somewhere. Throwing a line out, falling asleep, forgetting about the line.
Forgetting about the world.
But you can't forget about the world because it's always there reminding you.
Oh, I know.
That it's there.
And people need prayer and help and comfort.
Well, you know, one of the things about the gospel is that the human condition itself is not going to change. It's going to continue to be corrupted.
Yep.
The earth is going to be corrupted. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have, you know, a good sunset, enjoy a nice day. But the gospel is there to remind us, in the midst of this, where we live, that it is our finest hope. Now, you heard, you know, during World War II, Churchill urging Great Britain onto their finest hour. And when we went to war during World War II, there was that urge, you know, to go forth. Well, you know, in these last days, you know, there's a lot of pushes on for technology and humanism. There's a lot of absolutely weird appetites out there, and perverted appetites. And there's a lot of things in this world today that are disgusting. But the gospel is there to remind us, and the Lord is saying, I change not. I died for your sins. Confess, come to me. I will heal you. I will bring you unto myself. And in this world, you will overcome by faith. And when you're done with this world, you will live with me forever.
Amen.
That's the gospel. And around the world, we see people that are anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Christian. And they're doing everything in their power to remove Christianity from this planet. And it is setting up society worldwide for the Dark One to arrive. And that's where we're at today. But no matter how wicked the wicked are, or how deceived they are, or how much they plot to destroy all Christians and Christianity, and push us down a rat hole, we have been called to be in their face. We haven't been called to run the other way. The people that are getting thrown in prison of the pastors, the people that are getting beat up and killed and murdered, these are the pastors that are going out preaching the gospel in spite of the threats. Christianity is not going to run and hide. Now, there will be a whore church that will go to bed with the whore and all of its corruptions. But there will always be a church on fire and victorious. And they will go to their graves singing the praises of the Lord and declaring his name. No matter what the world does, no matter what America does, no matter what anybody does, we will declare the name of the Lord. And it will be to hell with the devil, because that's where he'll wind up, even worse than that, in the lake of fire. Because hell and death are both going into the lake of fire. So make no mistake about it. This is not a game. And you may think all the news or all the preaching is negative. It's not negative. Everything here relates to the hope of Christ.
That's right. Amen. Thank God for our hope.
Because there is a lot of filth out there
You know, it just is. But at any rate, we are, you know, going down. We're the 7th of December.
I know. I can't believe how fast. I always say that, too. How fast time goes. I can't believe it.
It was the 7th of December when Japan attacked.
That's right.
Pearl Harbor.
What year was that? I don't even remember. A long time ago.
Well, it was after the war with the Germans started. I was thinking...
1942?
41. You know, you'll have to look it up.
Okay, I am.
But, you know, it affected everybody back then. Now you hardly have anybody even talk about it.
Oh, I know. 1941, you're right.
So, I think of my dad, because he fought, he specifically fought in the South Pacific. He was of those that went to the South Pacific to stop the Japanese.
Yeah.
And he was, I think, 18. And it was a dire war. The Japanese were vicious fighters. You know, they would not give up. And it was a bloody South Pacific.
Yeah, it was tragic.
But Dad happened to be a Navy medic. And, so what he saw was all the young kids and the older guys. Years old, and, you know, we're losing them now over in the Middle East.
You know, that's so young.
I saw a picture of another young man that...
Just babies.
Yeah, babies. You know, Ron Paul used to talk about it all the time, and the Warrior and I used to talk about it, and that is bring them all home.
Yeah.
Protect our borders, and don't just go getting all these stupid fights. But see, as long as there is a group of people willing to go fight and get killed, there will be wars. But see, when you're dealing with radical Islam, you know, the goal for them is to go fight and to die in order to get into paradise. But that ain't going to work for them. They're fighting and dying, and they ain't going to paradise, I can guarantee you.
Yeah.
It's a sad situation.
It is. They believe the lie.
Yeah.
For all that glory that isn't there.
Yep.
It's sad because they're not educated. Well, they don't want them to be educated because then they'd find out the truth.
Well, it's a sad state of affair.
It is. Horrible. I hate it.
You know, we see so much of this, and you can see the outline.
What's really disturbing to me is that they bring these kids up from babies to and instill hate in them.
And that's
wicked.
That is wicked, and that's what they do. And it's a shame.
It is.
I don't know. But one day there's going to be a generation of these young Muslims that are going to decide we've been led up the path of death. They're going to get their heads hopefully screwed on straight.
Yeah.
But see, there's a lot of them out there, and that's all they live for. You know? And wherever you have them, whether it's in the Europe, in the UK, or America, or Canada, they always demand more. And want to eventually take your country over and force it. This is what they intend to do. And just like in Europe, you know, even if there's no major World War III, Europe itself will become Arab Muslim, simply by right of having babies. Because the Muslims are having a lot more babies than anybody else over there, or even here.
Yeah.
And the only ones that could even begin to come close to that are a lot of them from South America and the Catholic countries, which have large families. But even in America, you know, I was talking to someone not too long ago, we were talking about how big the families were. And in the old days, when we would get together with a family reunion, we had a ton of people. Because we had lots of kids.
Yeah.
Lots of kids with lots of kids. In the old days, you know, in America, these women, you know, they weren't feminists. They were just trying to live a life, and they'd take a man, and they'd live a life and raise kids, and she'd get pregnant. You know, and end up with 7, 8, 9, 10 kids or something.
Oh, scary.
You know, and, well, these kids helped work on the farm. And that's where the Waltons depicted that real good, because grandfather and grandmother was with the rest of the family. They were all together. They had a good-sized family, and they were all working together.
But yeah, they had to, and now they don't. The families are divided and spread apart, and
yeah,
no closeness.
No, totally messed up today. And, of course, all of this follows what we're talking today, perilous times.
That's right.
It is an amazing thing when we look at it all. And so, at any rate, we're, you know, what are we, about a week and a half from Christmas?
Couple weeks. Yeah, 2.5. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I just said a couple.
Yeah, close enough.
Because it's a 7, 31 days, so you only have three weeks left till, a little more than 3 weeks until the end of the year. And then I say, where did 2018 go?
Yeah, I know.
You know, when you look at this year, and this has been a vicious year.
Oh, it has.
We've seen a couple of people in the restaurant we knew and hadn't seen them in a while. And I brought up the fact that it, you know, they were in there and it was kind of nice, you know. You're away from all the news and everything. I said, it's unlike Washington. It's chaotic.
Oh, it is.
You know, and they immediately, and this has happened before when I mentioned this, you know, we're not going to talk about that. There, you know, and I kind of do this just see how many people are sick of it. And so far, And I've talked to quite a few people over the months, around here anyway, and they're just sick of the way things are.
Oh, I don't know who's happy with the way things are.
Well, you know, the Democrats and a lot of the liberals and those in Hollywood, well, all of them, when Obama was going, they were happy.
Yeah.
And I didn't like what Obama was doing, but I didn't do what these idiots are doing. And neither did the Republicans. You know, so they were perfectly happy with Obama's castigating of a lot of things, including rights and changing America. And he did it all while he smiled and got along with everybody and everything was fine. Nobody really said much. He did have a few things. But now you've got Trump in and the shoe's on the other foot. So all the Democrats are acting like they're, you know, escapees from a mental hospital. And they're just nuts. And you know, like, Cher and a lot of other big names, they're all the same way. They just act like they're crazy.
They must be getting senile in their old age.
You know, it's just absolutely amazing to me. So I look at this and I say, okay, what are you going to do when the dark one comes? It's going to be a deception. We know that. Okay. You're going to fall right into this
they
deception.
Will. They will. You know? They'll be happy.
You will suck this deception up. You know, and you will lick up every drop of it, and you'll go to hell for it. Because the scripture is absolutely 100% correct. No matter what those in some of these other countries try to get the UN to do and think regarding Christianity and things, the bottom line of it is this battle is not going away.
Mm-mm.
And this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness. And then the end shall come. You don't like it? I don't care.
It'll be ramping up.
Yeah. Even more than it is now. You know? I mean, and they absolutely hate Trump, a lot of them. And, you know, he was quoted as saying one day, I think it was I'm not sure what function he was at, but he was tearing up and he was thanking Jesus Christ for being Lord. They heard him. And that made the news.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And we know that they have prayer meetings and a lot of other things and prayers going up right there in the White House and a lot of the other cabinet meetings and other things. You wouldn't have seen that during Obama's time.
Oh, absolutely not.
You had the Muslim Brotherhood, who was declared a terrorist organization by some Muslim nations, go in and out of the White House regularly. And, you know, so there is a difference today.
That there is.
And, of course, there's Christians that stand up, and I've read them. You know, they just absolutely hate Trump. He's no Christian. Well, how do they know? Well, see, they're going by what he used to be so many years ago, and most of these knuckleheads don't remember when they were a kid. They did things that today they're ashamed to even admit.
Yeah.
So don't try to tell me, you big, huffy, puffy, perverted Christian. Don't try to tell me how beautiful you are and despise Trump, who's really trying. Now, I don't agree with everything he does, and he certainly doesn't know how to be quiet. And he says things that really do get the wrinkles wrinkled.
Yeah, he does.
You know,
or they do.
He was talking about Rex Tillerson, who was somewhere, and he got rid of him, and he's appointed somebody else. And he described what he was like. I mean, you know, I don't know why he has to do that, but he does. And you'll say, well, that's not Christian. Well, there's a lot of things that's going on, especially in churches that aren't Christian. You know, the fear of the Lord should propel everybody to repent and be halfway decent to one another. But it isn't going to, because y'all don't got the fear of the Lord anymore. There is no fear of the Lord in America. And there's no fear of the Lord in the churches. If it was, the garbage that's going on in those churches wouldn't be going on. But see, we've convinced ourselves everything's fine. So, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. So at any rate, you got any last words before I do this?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll just read what the show. The last days described by Paul telling Timothy, his son, in the faith, what these days would be like is a most revealing truth here. In the apostles' times, the last days had arrived. The apostles spoke of this time, and we can see that the apostle John tells those he writes, little children, it is the last time. 1 John 2:18. It is a very hard to bear time period, which has lasted over centuries since the early apostles. Yet there would be a very last time or last days of all the days of men on earth. And now back to you for Sound the Shofar and our study of 1 and 2 Timothy.
We are in 2 Timothy. And the name of this little segment is Last Days Perilousness. This is part 8 of the study. Second Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, Tower got into this because that's in the description. Difficult, dangerous, fierce, hard to bear. But when we talk about the last days, or as the apostles would call it, the last time, that began after Yeshua ascended, after what he did, and then he ascended. The last times, the last portion. And then, of course, you move ahead to where we're at. And so that's why when we talk about this, and I was in Revelation last night discussing some of these things, but we were in the seventh seal last night. Today we're not dealing with the revelatory part out of Revelation and the judgments. We're dealing with the characteristics that Paul as an apostle was, it was revealed to him through the Spirit. And he did. You think about living in the Roman Empire. They were difficult times. They were dangerous, fierce. They did have debauchery. They did have a lot of, they had a lot of different lifestyles and carnal desires of every kind. That wasn't a time that you could say that was the paradise. No, there was no paradise. On earth there is no paradise. I mean, as far as making it, everything's perfect. Now, of course, there's a lot of communists who push, the original Marxist ideals and communist ideals and then push them together in a socialism type package and try to convince you that everything's perfect, but they'll never be perfect. And that's where, when you're dealing with communism or socialism or Marxism, the needs of the many outdo the needs of the one. But in this case, when we really look at it, it winds up being the dictates of those in power tell the rest of them what's going to happen. That's the way it is. And we saw that, when Stalin and Lenin and Mao, matter of fact, some of the biggest genocides on the face of this earth came from those leaders. There was Idi Amin. A lot of them. We've had a lot of bloody, bloody times in the world. And so as we are living, as we would call it, the end of days, we are living in the time when our technology is far advanced of any time period before us. We are living in a time when people can go from one end of the earth, you know, to the other in just a matter of hours if you take the supersonic transport. You're looking at people who can talk to people on a phone or on a video feed around the world. You have people that can literally get on websites around the world, and our website is typical of that. Over the years, we're, I just go ahead and say it's 21 years. It's been that, you know. So, you know, we've had people from just about every country on the face of this earth at our websites. And, you know, we were able to broadcast all this through shortwave, satellite, and various other means, and it's just amazing the things we know and we can do. Yet it's also amazing how foolish we are. Now Paul described it as saying, excuse me, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, always learning, never stopping, but you can't come to the knowledge of the truth, which is Jesus Christ, Yahshua, you know, the truth of the gospel, the truth of redemption. Man, for all of his technology, is not going to recognize the beast. You would think, with all of the technology we have and all of the smart men, somebody would be able to recognize this dude. They won't. Scripture says that if you're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will take the mark. But you would think, well, they're smart. They're not dumb enough to fall for that. Well, I'll tell you. Just because you know things about technology and about the world and you're considered a brain, you know, the highest IQ, 197, higher than Einstein. I forgot the name of that guy's name. But that don't lead you to God. The Spirit of God leads you to God. So you're living in the last days. That's difficult, dangerous, fierce times at a time period when we are prosperous, when we have more knowledge than any other, we have more wisdom, we have more ability to go from one planet to another. We have so much potential for doing things that no other generation has been able to do, but yet we will be in the epitome of difficult, dangerous, and fierce times. Now, all those times kind of describe what went on since the time of the early apostles. See, that term, through the ages, it multiplies. Means as you get closer to the time period for the end of days, prophecies to come to pass, these things are all coming to pass together, and they're multiplied. And the sins are multiplied. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have the sins we have today. You know, they had some people that might do them in the closet, you know, various things. But, I mean, we have thrown the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. You know, we're in the dear God Almighty help us stage. For those of us that are watching it, just throwing up your hands, just say, dear God. Every time you think that it's not going to get any worse, it gets worse. That's the time period you're living in. And Paul says why it's going to be that way. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, before I begin this next little section, you know, one of the most popular things about the smartphone is selfies. One of the most popular things, like even on Instagram, is to put up pictures and selfies and things. And on Facebook, too, and all the other social media, nice little cute pictures. And you wonder, well, why is that so popular today? It's popular because people are lovers of their own selves. It comes out of a selfishness, and that term, that's what it means, fond of self. And so they're going to be lovers of their own selves, and that's just, you know, when we talk about selfies and how popular they are, it just illustrates, you know, why they're popular. You know, we've developed that. We've seen a generation of spoiled brats come up that expect everything, you know. My grandfather, my dad, had to work a lot of years before they made any money. Big money. They had to work hard. Today, the kids coming up, well, they want to make all the money in just a little time and retire by 30. It's greed. And that's where covetousness, and that's the next thing Paul mentions. Fond of money. Avaricious. Greedy. Now, of course, there is a fine line here for some in the church, because they have figured out a way to make the love of money into something that God has designed for you to have, is money. But money, known as mammon, is one of those commodities that is frowned upon when we look in Scripture. Mammon. We don't sell our soul for mammon. We don't sell the gospel for mammon. But we sell other things to get people to buy them, and we have a good reason. Will help us in the ministry. So then you have ministries that are multi-million dollar ministries who pay no tax, and the people running them, the evangelist or the pastor, lives in an absolutely unbelievable house, and they've got everything that heart could wish, and so they lift that up as successful. That's baloney. But that's what we do in America, because we're, you know, we've got it written in the Constitution. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that's my pursuit of happiness. So let's see, lovers of their own selves, selfies, covetousness, oh yeah, fond of money, we love our money, and we love winning the lotteries, we love going to, you know, spin the wheel, the slot machine, because if we win lots of money, oh, that just makes us happy, don't it? You know, when you have plenty of money and you can pay all your bills and you just got that, you just think you're going to be in, you're just doing good. Till the next time the round of bills come in and you don't have enough, then you start getting mad and angry and upset. That's not what God expects from us. Our source is the Lord. And then, of course, if you really look at the persecuted church around the world, or the church period, even if they're not persecuted, they have nothing, most of them. In America, and you could say the UK, the EU, and a number of other Western nations, Australia, New Zealand, you know, the people there have lived good lifestyles, Canada included. But that's unlike the other part. So there's covetous, there's boasters, braggarts or boasters, proud, conspicuously standing out as haughty, you know. Oh man, I'm great, you know, and I'm doing this, and I'm going to stand up for what I believe. Now see, we have a lot of this Pride Week stuff, not just the gays. We have Pride Week from feminists. We have Pride Weeks from... And pride stuff coming out of just about every corner on earth now. You know, if you're in some kind of a group, you can have a pride thing. You know. But yet, if you're an American and you want to hang up the flag and say, I'm proud to be an American, these other people beat the hell out of you if they get a hold of you. Because they're not proud of America. But if it wasn't for America, they wouldn't be able to demand what they demand. That's how stupid a lot of this stuff is. Because even all those that backed Obama because they loved him and they hate Donald Trump, well, if you followed down the road of Obama, you would be in a socialist America. And they all say, well, that's what we want. No, it's not. There's not one socialist country that hasn't had trouble, not including Russia. And they're still not doing very good. And you take the socialists down in South America, they still can't make it. Why do you think all their people are leaving to come to America? America is not socialist, people. You want a socialist country, stay in South America. But see, they don't want a socialist country. They want an American nation because we have people that work and pay their bills and they live a life and they don't have to worry about getting slaughtered and killed and murdered most of the time. But you see, all this is part of the end of days. And we have our people in America because they have a right to do it. You know, Antifa is one. And they put their masks on and stand out. They're not afraid of taking a club beating you over the head with it to prove that they're right. And they call the other people the Nazis. When they themselves are using Nazi brown shirt tactics. See, history is only really believed when we make up our own history about it. That's what many of the Muslims do, the leaders that hate the Jews so much. They just make up their own history, even with, you know, the Holocaust. You know, well, we don't believe it. It never happened. The Jews made it up. Well, we've got history. We know it did. World War II, the soldiers went through the camps. What are you trying to say it didn't happen? But that's what they do. Because they're proud. They're haughty. And they're going to be right even if they're wrong. Now see, that's the society you live in today. And so when you're at work and you're trying to talk to people, you're trying to do your job, you're going to meet people there who are covetous. They're right alongside of you. And they're covetous. They're boasters. They're very, very proud. They will stand out from the crowd. And if they're a boss or something, they will stand out. They will do what it takes to get their way. Why? Because they are selfish, fond of self. And we've made that sound good today. And then, of course, conspicuous standing out as haughty. And then, of course, there's blasphemers. Now, see, we've seen this more in probably the last 10 years as I ever remember seeing it. That is meaning to injure someone through rumor, but especially against God. Railing. And railing is when you just continue to just bring it up and scream and holler and shake your fist and just absolutely condemn. Matter of fact, that railing will be exactly what the Antichrist, we don't like that word, the beast, or you could even call the son of perdition, that exactly the quality that they're going to have, because they're going to defame God. They're going to blaspheme God. The woman in Revelation 17 has a cup full of blasphemies. This comes straight out of the pit of hell. And when you have a nation that falls away from God, one of the judgments that happen, because you don't have anybody trying to protect from it, because your churches have fallen. Because, see, the thing of it is, they're supposed to be salt. Salt is supposed to preserve stuff. But if the salt has lost its savor, you can't preserve anything with it. So it's only good for being thrown out. Well, one of the things that you have to understand is the salt is the gospel. People hearing the gospel, repenting and turning to God, that is the preservation, because you preserve people. And they repent of their sins and decide to walk in, you know, for God. And you cannot save a nation when it refuses to be saved. You cannot save churches that refuse to listen to the truth. Ones that don't care about holiness anymore. One that changes what the gospel is. One that totally disowns it and has a more modernized version. That's why the world is going to hell right now. And make no mistake about it, and we've seen more blasphemers, especially against Trump and against anybody that supports him, and both sides do get into the action. But the intent is to injure, and sometimes people really get injured because they get beat up. And we've seen a lot of times that Trump's followers were beaten up. But see, this is the difference today. And see, you also have the media involved, and most of them support the anti-Trump theme. Well, what this tells us is that reporters and news organizations aren't tied to the real truth like they used to be. That it instead becomes ideas and ideals of what they believe. Their editors set the tone. The companies that bought them want a bottom line. It comes in where money's more important. So instead of preaching what would be the truth, they preach what makes the most money. Excuse me. Blasphemers, disobedient, these are people that are unpersuadable. They're contumacious, or they're willingly disobedient to authority, to parents, to society, to anybody in authority. You can't persuade them with your point of view, and this is really Antifa, and this is a lot of others. This is also a lot of those that hate Israel. You can't persuade them. There's also those that hate Christians. You can't persuade them. There is a lot of fodder for the devil right now on earth. And in order for the lawless one to appear, society has to be totally lawless, and that's what Paul points out in 2 Thessalonians 2. Well, we are really getting to the point to where that lawlessness will welcome him in. He will be embraced, and he will feel at home, and they will just suck it up. And we have a lot within families, and that's, of course, one of the tactics was to break down the family, and they did that. And we have no real male role models or female role models anymore. And half of your young children are taught that they're not the real sex that they were born with. Confusion. This is what the devil works on. Then they're unthankful. You know what that is, ungrateful, thankless. And they're also unholy, wicked. Now that's just verse 2. So there's three verses, 2, 3, and 4. You've got an intro paragraph, an intro verse, and you've got a conclusion. And if you stopped even there and say, well, that's society today, that would be bad enough. But the next part is, without natural affection, hard-hearted, opposite of, or to cherish affectionately. Now see, a lot of times when we use this term natural affection, we think of within a family, maybe a mother having a child and don't feel attached to it, so she just leaves it, without a natural attraction to it. And that could be. But natural affection includes a lot of things. The natural affections as a boy, natural affections as a girl, natural affections within a family, natural affections, whatever they may be, which are natural to the human genome, no longer exists in a lot of people. It's gone. People are without natural affection. And they're thankless, and they're willingly disobedient to any authority. They're blasphemers, they're boasters, they're proud and willing to stand out as being proud. And they love money, and they love their own selves and like to take selfies. Welcome to America and the world. And so what point do you get at where you say, well, God's going to protect America no matter what? How bad does the nation have to get? And that's the big thing here. You know, because you could say, well, you know, America still isn't as bad as some of these other countries. And you could say, well, yeah, that's true. The prophet Habakkuk talked about that. Because in the first part of that, he was talking with the Lord about all of the lawlessness and stuff he was seeing. And God was causing him to see and was going to wonder when God was going to do something. And the Lord tells him, I'm going to do something. And I'm going to bring in a nation far more wicked than you are. And they're going to go through your nation. They're going to rape and pillage and burn and take hostages and kill. So Habakkuk said, well, how can you use a nation more wicked than we are to judge us? Well, he was told that the proud, their soul is not right in them, but the righteous must live by faith. And by the time he gets to the end of that, he gets more understanding. And I use that as the last stand. Go in the last part of Habakkuk, the last chapter, about the last few verses, and read them. So without natural affection, and that explains why you have so many different weird things happening. The gender ID issue, you know, loving the way we do, other sexes and things. Your truce breakers. Ruthless, cruel. You know, you're not going to keep any kind of peace or truce with anybody. It all has to follow your way for it. What you think, your way. False accusers, this is like Satan, a slanderer. You're willing to vilify or defame, and it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. Usually it isn't. Well, it is in this verse. It'll always be false. Just to get your way. To win. And that's, really, you could say the Democrats were doing that because they were flat saying that. It's any means. And yet they turn around and call Trump wicked. That's the pot calling the kettle black. That's an old phrase. Incontinent, powerless, or no self-control. We have a lot of no self-control in our food, our drinking, our eating, our lifestyles. No self-control. Fierce or savage, and despisers of those that are good. You're hostile to virtue or righteousness. So if you're a Christian trying to do good, they're going to hate you. You don't even have to do anything right. You don't have to say anything. You just have to be a Christian and go your own little way and mind your own business, and they're going to hate you. Of course, if you're living like they are, they're not going to say nothing. But if you follow the gospel, you need to make sure that you're walking as Christ walked in the light. 1 John 1. Traitors, of course, betrayer. You give somebody into the enemy's hands. Heady, high-minded. You're rash. Stubbornly moving ahead recklessly. No matter what, you're going to go forward. You can't talk to them. You can't tell them not to do it. They're going to do it. High-minded goes with that. So traitors, heady, high-minded. That's all goes together there. They're betrayers who will stubbornly move ahead recklessly, inflated with their self-conceit, lifted up by their own pride. That's who these people are. And you wonder why a lot of people are going to wind up in hell, in judgment, because they don't want to listen. Because in America today, and the world, the devil has made it really easy, because he doesn't oppose technology, for you to have all these things and have all these qualities, and you think it's okay. Because pride is okay. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Of course, you love pleasure. You're fond of it. More than being pious or being a Christian, following Christian discipleship. You know, that's following God, loving God, doing what he says, obeying the scriptures. Second Timothy 3:2-4. Now make no mistake about it, within all this context, God is going to save people. We report on it all the time. The bottom line of it is, this is a battle. These have a form or a formula of godliness, piety, or even the gospel. So they look like they're rich and in need of nothing, like the Laodicean church. But they deny, contradict, or disavow the power. This is specifically the miraculous power. That is miracles and workers of miracles and walking in a way that is holy. A total deliverance life. They deny that. They'll present you with the Bible. They will make it look good, but there will be no power to deliver you and to keep you. And Paul gives an example. He says, "For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, being led away with divers lusts." So they're willing to go in the houses, and they find these women in there that are full of lusts already and take them away to do whatever they want to do with them. And this is where Paul says this, "Ever, and at all times, evermore, learning, that is, in any and all ways, to learn and understand, and never able to come to the knowledge, that is, the full discernment of the truth," that is, verity and truth, "of the gospel, the Christ, and the Father." They're never able to do that. And see, this is exactly where we're at in this world today. We have lots of technology, lots of learning, lots of educational processes, but the bottom line of it is, with all their learning, they still haven't been able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That comes through the Spirit of God. That comes by God touching people, opening up their understanding. "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." These were the two priests that opposed Moses for a while. "But they shall proceed no further for their folly, and shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." He goes on to say, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions and afflictions which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Now see, that is what he went through, but the Lord delivered him. And he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Unfortunately, the same is true today. "But continue thou in the things which you have learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned. And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." See the difference? We are in Christ. We have the scriptures. We have the Spirit of God. And for us, we need to get back to the apostolic doctrine and the truths that the apostles taught. Father, thank you for this word. Bless it to the hearts of those who hear this. And bless them, Lord. And folks, forgive me for coughing. I have a few of these things that I'm on the end of. And trying to get it to keep quiet sometimes. Especially when I get talking a lot. But thank you for bearing with us. Tower?
Yes. You know, it amazes me how the Word of God was written all those years ago, thousands, you know, a couple thousand years ago, and how it applies today. And it's like prophecy being fulfilled. I mean, it's just, that isn't what I want to say. I want to, how they knew that it would be like that today. If it was like that back then, it's much worse now.
Well, you know it is, and that's why we love it so much.
Yeah, I just think God's word's amazing. You know, there's nothing new under the sun.
No, there isn't. But thank God we've got the Bible, yeah, and we've got the scripture. And, well, at any rate, we're going to get out of here, folks.
Okay, thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. God bless you and keep you. Enjoy your weekend. And we're celebrating Hanukkah. If you're celebrating that, happy Hanukkah to you. Thank you for all you do for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God bless you richly. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.
Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.